بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نستمر في درسنا في مختصر أحكام الصيام للشيخ الفاضل محمد بن حزام البعداني حفظه الله. وقد وصلنا إلى باب ما لا يعد ولم يثبت أو لم يثبت أنه من المفطرات. ما لا يعد ولم يثبت أنه من المفطرات. We're reading from the book, the summary of some rulings pertaining to fasting. And we arrived in the section of the Shaykh's book, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Hizam's book, regarding the subject of that which is not considered and it has not been truly confirmed to be from those matters that breaks one's fast. And this is very important. هذا باب مهم جدا لأسباب منها أن كثيرا من الناس عندما يصومون قد يظن أنه يفطر وليس بمفطرا، قد يظن أن فعله أو يعني يجعله من المفطرين ولكن ليس بالصحيح. مثلا كما أخذنا في الدرس السابق في بداية هذا الباب، الذي أكل أو شرب ناسيا قد يظن الظان أنه يفطر عندما يشرب أو يأكل، وهو أكل غير متعمدا أو شرب غير متعمدا. فهذا الباب مهم على شأن أن المسلم عندما هو يصوم يكون خالي البال، مرتاح بصومه، ويكون على اليقين في أمور دينه، لا سيما وصوم واجب على جميع المسلمين. هذه العبادة واجب على جميع المسلمين، فواجب علينا جميعا أن نفهم هذه الأحكام. This chapter is very important because there are so many people who they may fast and they may do something and believe that this action breaks their fast. Or they may see someone else do something and believe that this action breaks their fast. As an example, as we have taken the beginning of this chapter in our last lesson, last Thursday, where we took the issue of the one who eats or he drinks out of forgetfulness. And this individual who eats or drinks out of forgetfulness, he may believe that he has broken his fast. He may continue the rest of that day not fasting when he just made a mistake and forgot that he was fasting and he's entered the month of Ramadan. This happens a lot of times when we first enter the beginning of the month of Ramadan. People forget. So it's very important to know these rulings. It's very important to know these rulings so we could be upon certainty, be upon clarity, be upon basira regarding our worship. And this is one of the greatest worships. Fasting is one of the greatest acts of ibadah. So it's important to be upon certainty regarding that which we are doing and how we are to properly fast. قال الشيخ الأكل والشرب ناسيا. We're going to start here because this is where we ended. يعني نبدأ هنا لأننا وقفنا هنا. الأكل والشرب ناسيا. إن أكل أو شرب أو بلع شيئا بدون قصد، سواء كان من الأكل والشرب أو من الغبار أو التراب أو ما أشبه ذلك، فهذا كله لا يعد من المفطرات. فهذا كله لا يعد من المفطرات إلا إذا تعمد ذلك The Sheikh, he mentioned if one was to eat or they to drink or swallow something without purposely with intending that, regardless if it is from those things which are eaten, those which are classified as being food or drink, or other than that, such as dust, if one was to eat dust unintentionally, or they were to eat dirt unintentionally, or something similar to this nature. This, all of these matters, all of these objects, regardless if it's food or other than food, it's not considered to be from those issues that breaks one's fast. Except if he intended to eat this purposely to break his fast. Except if he purposely ate this, then that's considered breaking his fast. ثم ذكر الشيخ حديث قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه متفق عليه. Then the Shaykh mentioned a hadith that came on the authority of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he mentioned whoever was fasting and he forgot that he was fasting and he ate or he drank, then he should continue his fast. For verily, it is solely Allah who has fed him and quenched his thirst. So, this is very important. هذا أمر مهم. أننا لو أكلنا شيء من نسيان لو نسينا أننا من الصائمين وأكلنا شيء أو شربنا شيئا فهذا لا يعد هذا الشخص لا يعد من المفطرين فهذا شرب لا يفطر هذا الشرب أو أكل لا يفطر لا يفطران فنرجو أن هذا مفهوم. So this is the issue. If one was to eat or they to drink out of forgetfulness, then it's not considered to be from breaking his fast. ولكن لو مثلا أكل جزءا من الشاورما وما زال الطعام في فيه طيب وما بلع ثم ذكر أن هذا الطعام ما بلعه ثم ذكر أن هذا الطعام في فمه وهو صائم ليس له أن يبلع ذلك الطعام وإنما عليه أن يخرج الطعام من فيه. However, if one was to be eating something, let's say he's eating a shawarma sandwich. طيب, he's eating a shawarma sandwich and he has some in his mouth. He hasn't yet swallowed. This individual who has the food in his mouth, it is incumbent upon him once he remembers to remove it from his mouth. To remove the food from his mouth. This is very important. He does not swallow the food, rather he removes it. فذكر الشيخ في الحاشية رقم الثاني قال يجب إعلامه على من رآه هذا هو الصواب لكون الأكل والشرب في نهار رمضان محرما وإنما الجهل والنسيان عذر في عدم تأثيمه فيشمله قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده قال فيجب إعلامه يعني واجب أن يكون من رآه أن يخبره بأنه صائم يذكره نعم هذا هو الصواب لكون الأكل والشرب في نهار رمضان محرما وإنما الجهل والنسيان عذر في عدم التأثيم لذلك شخص يعني لا ليس بآثم فيشمله قوله هذا الذي يراه يعني يفتر فيشمله قوله من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطيع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطيع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان نعم. The Shaykh, he mentioned a very important point, and that is, he said it is incumbent This is in the footnotes. He said it is incumbent to inform whoever sees him breaking his fast or eating out of his forgetfulness. It is incumbent upon the one who sees him to inform him that he's fasting. This is the correct position for anyone who witnesses someone eating something and he's supposed to be fasting, to remind him, look, achi, you're fasting. Remember, you're supposed to be fasting, subhanAllah. To remind him. Na'am. Especially being that the fact of eating and drinking in the daytime during the month of Ramadan is impermissible. The only reason why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وساقاه. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in his hadith that came on the authority of Abi Hurairah, and whoever forgets while he's fasting, he eats or drinks, then he should complete his fasting. Verily the one who's fed him and quenched his thirst is Allah. This is from the aspect of whatever he has already taken to his stomach, not that which is put in his mouth. So if someone sees this Muslim brother eating, then he should remind him, look, Yahi, you're fasting. Na'am. But the issue of him forgetting or being ignorant regarding the fact of he's supposed to be fasting, there's an udhr, there's an excuse. He's excused. Na'am. He's not, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, he's not going to be considered from one who is sinning. He's not considered to be from those who are sinning. But the one who witnesses him drinking or eating, then he should remind him in a nice way. In a nice way. Based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very famous hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever from amongst you sees an evil, then he should change it with his hand. And if he is not able to, then he should change it with his tongue, meaning by speaking about it. And if he is not able to, then he should hate it in his heart. He should hate it in his heart. He said, and that is the weakest of iman. هذا حديث جاء في صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه وقال ومن المعلوم أيضا أن الإمام إذا قام إلى ركعة الخامسة ناسيا فيجب على المأموم إعلامه لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا نسيت فذكروني. And so it's also well known that if the imam, if he stood up to pray a fifth raka'ah out of forgetfulness, he stands up to pray a fifth raka'ah, let's say in Dhuhr, Asr, or Salat al-Isha, he said it is incumbent upon the one who is following him to inform him. This is similar to the issue of one drinking or eating accidentally during the morning time of Ramadan. He should inform him. Based on the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَإِذَا نَسِيتُ فَذَكِّرُونِي. So if I forget, then remind me. وَهَذَا يُطَبَّقْ كَذَلِكْ هَذَا يُطَبَّقْ كَذَلِكْ إِذَا رَأَيْتَ أَخَاكْ يَشْرَبْ أَوْ يَأْكُلْ فَذَكِّرْهُ. كَمَا النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر قال فَإِذَا نَسِيتُ فَذَكِّرُونِي. وَهَذَا النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَطَبْعًا مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ بَابْ أَوْلَى. This hadith that we just mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, if you see me, if I forget. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أنا بشر أنسى كما تنسوا فإذا نسيت فذكروني. هذا يعني جزء أكثر من حديث. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I am a person, I forget as you all forget. Meaning, بني آدم ينسون. He said, I forget as you all forget. He said, if I forget, then remind me. هكذا. وهكذا يكون جميع المسلمين. This is how all of the believers should be. If this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then of course, we should be doing the same. We should be doing the same, reminding each other if we are to eat or drink out of forgetfulness. Another issue that the Shaykh presents, فقال في حاشية رقم الأول ما ذكرنا هذه الفائدة. الشيخ, he mentioned in the footnotes, he said فائدة, a benefit. ثبت عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال إنما الفطر مما دخل وليس مما خرج. He said, verily, the breakfast is from that which enters. Meaning breaking the fast, one breaking their fast, is from that which enters and is not from that which comes out. قال إنما الفطر مما دخل وليس مما خرج أخرجه البيحقي. There's a statement from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. He said that verily, الفطر, breaking fast, is from that which enters, not from that which exits. And هذه القاعدة تقريبا, يعني this is like a principle. ولكن هذا ليس على عمومه, ليس على عمومه, ليس على الإطلاق. هذا القول ليس على الإطلاق. فإن الفطر يكون من الداخل كالأكل والشرب ونحو ذلك, ومن الخارج كذلك كالحيض والنفاس والخروج المني بالملامسة مثلا. يفطر الصائم بما ذكرنا. طيب, the Sheikh, he mentioned, and a good benefit from a statement of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, where he said that the breakfast is from that which enters, not from that which exits. This came in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. This came in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. However, this statement I'm mentioning, based on the ulama يقولون, the scholars they mention, هذا ليس على عمومه. This statement is not upon its generality, meaning every, under every circumstances, the breaking one's fast is only exclusively based on what you intake and not with that which comes out. And because when they break their fast from issues or from things which they intake, like food and drink and similar to that, and also from that which comes or that which comes out. If we break the fast from that which comes out, similar to al-hayd, similar to menses. If a woman has her menses, from this dim, from this blood, this causes her, and this is blood that comes out, it causes her to break her fast. Only fast, or one who is in a state of yani postpartum bleeding is an example. وخروج المني بالملامسة is an example. If one was to the excretion of body fluid from the shahwa, from the desires being increased, this also is from that which comes out that causes one to break their fast. So this is specifically if one yani touches or have some type of gratification from this excretion coming out, this is what causes one to break their fast. Yani, so individual in these types of situations, this is from that which comes out. لأنه قال إنما الفطر مما دخل وليس مما خرج. وأنا أقول هذا ليس على يعني هذا ليس على عمومه, ليس على الإطلاق. طيب, وهذا اللي أردنا أن نعلق عليه من هذه الحاشية. بارك الله فيكم. الثاني ذكر الشيخ القيء, القيء عمدا أو بغير عمدا. نذكركم أننا نتكلم عما لا يعد ولم يثبت أنه من المفطرات. لا يعد ولم يثبت أنها من المفطرات. Those things or those issues that are not considered to be from that which breaks one's fast. It's not truly confirmed from text, from the Qur'an. لم يثبت أنها من المفطرات. There's no true authentic text from the Qur'an or the Sunnah that makes these issues from that which breaks their fast. Secondly, al-qay, amdan aw bighayri amdin. The second issue that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hizam, hafidhahullah, he mentioned, is qay, vomiting. If one vomits purposely or not purposely. Purposely, such as when one enters their finger to the back of their throat, and they cause themselves to vomit. If they do this, or if they do it, they throw up out of being sick or something, it does not break one's fast. قَدْ جَاءَ فِي ذَلِكَ حَدِيثٌ صَرِيحٌ حَدِيثٌ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ ذَرَعُهُ الْقَيْءُ وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ قَضَاءُ وَمَنْ اسْتَقَاءُ فَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءُ أَخْرَجُوا أَحْمَدْ وَأَبُو دَاوُدْ وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَغَيْرُهُمْ فهذا الحديث لا يصح لو صح لكان نصا في المسألة يعني هو فصريح صريح في اللفظ لكن لم يثبت هذا الحديث لو صح لكان نصا في المسألة ولكن الحديث قد أعله جمع من الحفاظ منهم الإمام أحمد والبخاري إمام البخاري ذكر أن هذا الحديث ضعيف وغيرهما إمام أحمد وإمام البخاري كلاهما يذكران أن هذا الحديث ضعيف فالصحيح أن القيء لا يفطر سواء تعمد ذلك أم لم يتعمد لأن الحديث لم يثبت فلذلك من ذرعه فلا شيء عليه ما معنى ذرعه يعني غلبه القيء غلبه القيء كأن يخرج من غير اختياره هذا بمعنى ذرعه يعني من ذرعه القيء إن الحديث الذي جاء عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه هو لم يثبت هو في لفظه من ذرعه القيء وهو صائم فليس عليه قضاء ومن استقاء فعليه القضاء ما معنى من ذرعه بمعنى من غلبه القيء كأن يخرج يعني من غير اختياره أن يخرج من غير اختياره هذا هو الذرع طيب المهم من ذرعه فلا شيء عليه وهذا قول عامة أهل العلم هذا القول قول عامة الأهل العلم أنه لا عليه شيء لا عليه شيء بارك الله فيكم This issue that we're speaking about now is if one was to vomit regardless if he vomited purposely or unintentionally if he did it intentionally or unintentionally if he vomited this does not break his fast Some believe that it breaks his fast However, there's nothing authentically reported by the Prophet ﷺ that this breaks his fast. And the Shaykh, he mentioned that there's a hadith, hadithun sarih, in a hadith that has clear text, yani it's direct to the point. It's a hadith that came on the authority of Abi Hurayrah radiallahu anhu. However, this hadith is not authentic. Where the Prophet ﷺ supposedly said, whoever is overwhelmed with vomiting, whoever is overwhelmed with vomiting while he is fasting, there is nothing upon him from as far as with making the fast up. And whoever forces himself to make up his fast, whoever forces himself to make himself vomit, then he must make his fast up. This hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abi Dawud and Sunan Tirmidhi and other than them from the books of Hadith. However, this hadith is not authentic. If it was authentic, then it would have been clear text regarding this issue. However, the hadith, there is a number of scholars that reported this hadith, number of scholars of hadith, yani a number of them, meaning a group of them that agreed this hadith to be unauthentic. It's not authentic. It's weak. And from the scholars that reported that this hadith is unauthentic, that it's not, yani, that it's ba'if, that it's not authentically from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this statement, is Imam Ahmed. He graded this hadith da'if. Imam al-Bukhari, he graded this hadith da'if, and other than the two of them. So the correct position is that vomiting, it does not break one's fast, regardless if he did it purposely or he did it unintentionally. So this hadith is not authentic. So in general, whoever throws up, then there's nothing upon him. Whoever throws up, there's nothing upon him. This is the correct position, and in general, this is the general statement of Ahlul Ilm. This is the general statement of Ahlul Ilm. The second issue, or the third issue that we like to deal with, Al-Hijama. Al-Shaykh takallama an al-Hijama. Al-Hijama, cupping, meaning one doing bloodletting. They do cupping. عَدَّ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ الْحِجَامَةَ مِنَ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ مُسْتَدِلِّينَ بِحَدِيثِ شَدَّادِ بِنْ أَوْسِ حَيْثُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَفْطَرُ الْحَاجِمُ وَالْمَحْجُومُ أَخْرَجُهُ أَحْمَدُ وَغَيْرُهُ وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ وَلَكِنْ يَظْهَرُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ نُسِخَ كَمَا ذَكَرَهُ الشَّافِعِيُّ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ إِلَى أن الحديث يحمل على أنه منسوخ لأن عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما روى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو صائم أخرجه البخاري. هذا الحديث عبد الله ابن عباس يعني روى حديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو صائم. هذا الحديث جاء في البخاري. وهناك حديث آخر الذي جاء عن شداد بن أوس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم, يعني الحاجم الذي يعني يحجم الناس, الذي يخرج الدم من المحجوم, والمحجوم الذي يعني يطلب الحجامة, المحجوم هو الذي يطلب الحجامة. ولكن الظاهر أن هذا الحديث نسخ, هذا الحديث نسخ كما ذكر إمام الشافعي, والحديث الناسخ هو الحديث الذي جاء عن عبد الله, جاء عن عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو صائم. هذا الحديث أخرجه البخاري. وعن طيب, before we move on, this issue of cupping, some of the scholars have taken the position that hijama, receiving hijama, is from those receiving hijama and also giving hijama, is from those issues that makes one break their fast. And the proof that they use is the hadith that came on the authority of Shaddad ibn Aus. Shaddad ibn Aus, radiyallahu anhu, where he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَفْطَرَ الْحَاجِمُ وَالْمَحْجُومُ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that the one who gives hijama and the one who receives it has broken their fast. This hadith came in Sunan, this hadith came in Musnad Imam Ahmad and other than it. This hadith came in Musnad Imam Ahmad and other than it. This hadith is authentic. However, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hizami mentioned what's apparent to us is that this hadith is abrogated. This hadith, implementation of this hadith, has been abrogated based on that which Imam al-Shafi'i mentioned, that this hadith has been abrogated from another hadith that came on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas makes it clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of it. He said, "Ihtajama." Abdullah ibn Abbas, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ihtajama wa huwa sa'im. Ihtajama wa huwa sa'imun. that the Prophet ﷺ, he may receive hijama while he was fasting. This hadith came in Sahih al-Bukhari. So this is a proof that it is permissible to receive hijama. ثم ذكر الشيخ شيخ محمد بن حزام حفظه الله وعن ثابت البناني أن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه سئل فقيل له أكنتم تكرهون الحجامة للصائم؟ قال لا إلا من أجل الضعف. أخرجه البخاري. Now he mentioned that this hadith came from the direction of Thabit al-Bunani, that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was asked, he said, it was said to him, do you all dislike doing hijama while you all are fasting? Did you all dislike the reception or receiving hijama for the person who's fasting? And then Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, la, meaning no, they did not dislike it, meaning they liked it. They liked to do hijama while fasting. He said, except from the aspect of yani al-da'f, weakness. Meaning, except from the aspect that when receiving hijama makes a person physically weak. This is one exclusive aspect that made them dislike fasting, dislike doing hijama for the one who's fasting. طيب, this came in Sahih al-Bukhari also. فهذا يدل على أن الحجامة لا تفطر والجمحور من أهل العلم على أنها ليست من المفطرات وهذا ما رجح البخاري في صحيحه وابن حزم وهو ترجيح العلامة الألباني رحمه الله تعالى. He mentioned that this is a proof that, and this is proof and this indicates, this is a proof and indicates that hijama does not break one's fast. And the majority of the scholars from the scholars of Islam, they're upon the position that hijama does not break one's fast. And this is the position that Imam al-Bukhari sees as being correct. And this is you find this mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. And also Ibn Hazm and Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, he has taken this same position. نرجو أن هذا مفهوم. طيب نأخذ شيء آخر. خروج الدم. خروج الدم. The issue of blood leaving out of the body from a cut or from any aspect, blood coming out of one's body from a wound or something. This does not break one's fast. This does not break one's fast. كَالصَّحْبِ الدِّمْ لِتَبَرُّعْ الصحيح أنه لا يعد من المفطرات وكذلك قطع العرق وإخراج الدم الفاسد لا يعد من المفطرات على الصحيح. هذا هو القول الصحيح الذي يصحب الدم لتبرع الذي عنده تبرعات للدم ويخرج الدم أي يصحب الدم لتبرعات فالصحيح أنه لا يعد من يعني مفطرات وكذلك الذي مثلا يقطع عرق يعني عرق في جسمه ويخرج دم أو يخرج دم الفاسد مثلا من الحجامة أو من غير حجامة لا يعد من المفطرات على الصحيح. يقول على الصحيح لأن هذا يدل على أن هناك اختلاف بين العلماء في هذه المسألة ولكن يقول على الصحيح بمعنى القول الراجح أنه ليس من يعني أن خروج الدم من الجسد ليس من المفطرات. The next issue that we're dealing with is the aspect of blood coming out of one's body. Regardless if this blood is blood that one may donate or one may yani when they pull out blood, some people may extract blood for some types of tests. Or they may give blood, they may donate blood to someone. And the correct position is that this does not break one's fast. And also, as an example, if one was to cut their vein, and if they cut their vein, blood comes out. Or if they have a wound or something, blood comes out. Or if they to bring out the bad blood out of the body, huh? If they were to extract their bad blood out of the body, the correct position is that this is not considered to be from those matters that breaks one's fast. نعم. وبعد ذلك ذكر استعمال معجون الأسنان. استعمال معجون الأسنان. يعني the usage of toothpaste. The usage of toothpaste does not break one's fast. Using toothpaste does not break one's fast. نعم. لا بأس به إذا لم ينزل إلى معدتي. إن لم ينزل إلى المعدة إذا استعمل أحد المعجون الأسنان إذا استعمل أحد المعجون معجون الأسنان إن لم ينزل إلى المعدة فيجوز استعماله. قال العلامة ابن عثيمين رحمه الله الأولى عدم استعماله. قال الأولى عدم استعماله. He said the most correct position is the correct position is that one does not, and the most sound thing to do is that one does not do this. لا بأس إذا لم ينزل المعدة ولكن يعني أولى عدم استعماله أولى أن لا يستعمل يعني المعجون الأسنان معجون الأسنان لأن له نفوذا قويا يعني هذه يعني تنزل يعني وتبقى يعني المعجون يبقى في الفم في كثير من الأوقات قد ينفذ إلى المعدة والإنسان لا يشعر به ربما ينزل أو يدخل المعدة ولا يشعر فلذلك أحسن أن يخرج عندما يتمضمض أن يخرج بقية يعني الطعم للمعجون. This issue with regards to using toothpaste. It is very important that one, when they brush their teeth, it's because the Sheikh he mentioned from those issues is usage of toothpaste is permissible. And some people believe that if you use toothpaste while fasting, that it breaks one's fast. However, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said it's better, it's preferable to not use toothpaste while he's fasting. Because the remnants of the toothpaste, it remains. This happens a lot. The remnants of the toothpaste remains. And sometimes it can travel down to the stomach. And someone may swallow toothpaste while not being aware that that's what they've done. So it's better to not use it. However, it's permissible. لأن بعض أهل العلم يكره استعمال ذلك وكذلك حتى السواك حتى السواك بعضهم يعني لا يحب استعمال السواك وهذا خاصة بعد النزول بعد طلوع الشمس عندما يبدأ يعني الصوم كثير من أهل العلم يعني بعضهم يكرهون استعمال السواك فما بالك باستعمال يعني المعجون معجون الأسنان ولكن نقول لماذا يكرهون استعمال السواك يعني في النهار رمضان عندما هو الصائم لأن هناك حديث جاء أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال خلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك خلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك فلذلك أولى أن الشخص يعني يصبر ولكن إذا كان يخرج أو يحدث الناس يتكلم مع الناس كثيرا هكذا فأحسن له أن لا يظهر رائحة يعني الذي يعني رائحة التي قد يعني يشمئز شخص من تلك الرائحة طيب ولكن الله عز وجل يحب فم رائحة فم الصائم كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خلوف فم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. نعم. فلذلك يعني بعد الزوال بعض العلماء يكرهون استعمال حتى السواك، فما بالك لاستعمال معجون الأسنان. ولكن من حيث الجواز يجوز، من حيث الجواز يجوز، حتى استعمال السواك طول اليوم يجوز، بل مستحب. نعم، استعمال السواك، نعم، سواء في رمضان أو في غير رمضان، مستحب في الدين. This issue with regards to using toothpaste, it's permissible to use toothpaste as long as it does not go to the stomach. And when one uses toothpaste, if they use it in the morning or they use it throughout their day, it's very important to make sure they rinse their mouth out very well so they do not leave the remnants of the toothpaste in the mouth to where it can be from the remnants of it or the remainder of it can go down to the stomach and it can he will not know it. But so it's permissible to use toothpaste, and some have mentioned it's better to use it in the morning. It's better to use toothpaste in the morning before Fajr, before you actually start your day. However, is it permissible to use it in the daytime? Yes. If one was to have a meeting with someone and they want to make sure that their breath does not stink or they do not have an odor that may cause someone to feel uncomfortable, it's permissible for them to brush their teeth with toothpaste while they are fasting. However, they have to make sure that they remove all, when they make tamadmad, and when they gargle their mouth out, they make sure that they remove the full taste of the toothpaste out of their mouth so the remnants did not go down to the stomach. And also, there's differences of opinion amongst the scholars with regards to even the issue of usage of the miswak after the sunrise. There's differences amongst scholars with regards to using the siwak after sunrise. So, of course, when it comes to using toothpaste, one must be very careful. And why is there a difference of opinion with regards to using the miswak? Some of the scholars have mentioned based on the statement where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, خُلُوفُ فِمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. The smell, يعني الرائحة, the smell of the mouth of the one who's fasting is more beloved to Allah than the aroma of musk. So based on this hadith, some have mentioned that it's better to not change that smell because this is beloved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. But is from the aspect of permissible? Na'am. Rather, a siwak is highly recommended. To use the siwak in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. In general, using a miswak is something that's highly recommended in the deen. طيب. نستمر ونأخذ نأخذ يعني خمسة دقائق إن شاء الله وننتهي بإذن الله. استعمال البخاق لمرض الربو. قال العلامة ابن عثيمين رحمه الله استعمال هذا البخاق جائز للصائم سواء كان في صيامه في رمضان أم في غير رمضان، وذلك لأن هذا البخاق لا يصل إلى المعدة What is the ruling with regards to using the spray for allergy? As an example, Ventolin, using the spray that for one who has asthma. That's what I'm using. Not the one who has asthma. What is the ruling with regards to one using this spray that they use in the mouth? This is a spray that they use to remove the tightness of the lungs for the one who has asthma. What is the ruling on this? It's permissible. It's permissible to use the asthma pump when one is fasting. And this is based on what Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned. He said, "Istimal hadh al-bakhaq ja'izun lis-sa'im." Using this spray is permissible for the one who's fasting. سواء كان في صيامه في رمضان أم في غير رمضان. Regardless if he's using it in the month of Ramadan or other than the month of Ramadan. وذلك لأن هذا البخاق لا يصل إلى المعدة. That is because this spray does not go down to the stomach. It's not a medicine that goes down to the stomach. One does not receive nourishment from this. What does it do? It causes the lungs to contract. It causes open passage to the lungs and causes one to breathe easier. However, it does not go to the stomach. هذه فتوى من فتاوى رمضان الشيخ العثيمين. طيب استخدام الإبر. That fatwa is in Fatawa of Ramadan from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimullah. Istikhdam al-ibr. What's the use? What's the ruling with regards to taking a shot, getting a shot? الذي يظهر أن هذه الإبر إن كانت للتغذية فتفطر وإن كان لم تكون كذلك فلا تفطر. وقد أفتى بذلك العلامة عبد العزيز ابن باز رحمه الله والعلامة ابن عثيمين رحمه الله والعلامة صالح الفوزان حفظه الله. He mentioned as far as with using, with receiving a shot. He said the most clearest position, what's apparent, is that this shot, if it is from that which gives nutritional value, yani gives vitamins, gives strength. It's from the type of shot that, there are some people who receive sugar. They can't eat, but they receive sugar. They receive vitamins through, they're not hydrated, and they receive a shot to become more hydrated. This is taghdiyah. This is nutritional value for the body. In this sense, it does break one's fast. If one has a shot and this shot gives nutritional value to the body, then it breaks the fast. And then the Shaykh, he said, وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ كَذَلِكْ فَلَا تُفَطْرْ. If it is not similar to that, then it does not break one's fast. If it is not from the medicine that is similar to food, it's a replacement of food, then it does not break the fast. وقد أفتى بذلك العلامة عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله. He said, this is the fatwa of العلامة عبد العزيز بن باز, Sheikh بن باز رحمه الله, and Sheikh العثيمين, and Sheikh صالح فوزان. They have fatwa that states the same as what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hizam mentions in his book. If it is a shot that gives nutritional value, then it's not... then it is considered to be from that which breaks the fast. But if it is not that, then it does not break one's fast. طيب, القحل. Using the قحل, the قحل is like the eyeliner that goes on the eye. القحل للصائم. قد جاء حديث ليتقي الصائم. ليتقي الصائم. ولكنه لا يثبت. والأصل الإباحة والقحل لا يعد أكلا ولا شربا فالصحيح أن القحل للصائم ليس من المفطرات ولكن من علم من طيب ولكن من علم من نفسه وصول القحل إلى حلقه فينبغي له التحرز منه. The Sheikh, he mentioned قحل, this eyeliner that's used as is used for women as makeup and is used for people in general, men, as tadawi, as medicine to strengthen the eyesight. And there's even hadith where the Prophet ﷺ used quhul to strengthen the eyesight. I'm talking about the authentic quhul, not this eyeliner from L'Oreal or what we may find some in some of the stores here. I'm talking about quhul, specific medicine that's used, that's put on the eye to strengthen the eyesight. And some women use it for beautification. This is a hadith that came, لِيَتَّقِي حِصَائِمْ يعني, for the one who's fasting to stay away from al-quhul. However, this is not authentic. This hadith is not authentic. And there's a principle in Islam, al-asr al-ibaha. The basis in issues of dunya, in the issues of a dunya, is permissible. Except that which comes with dalil, يعني يحرم ذلك الشيء. الأصل في الدين أن أمور الدنيوية فيها الإباحة إلا إن جاء النص يحرم ذلك الشيء. طيب أما في العبادة الأصل فيه التحريم إلا إن وجد دليلا على أن تلك العبادة يعني مباح أنها من الدين. There's a principle in Islam that the issues in general, issues of dunya, is permissible except if there's proof that comes from Islam that makes that thing impermissible. Issues with the dunya is permissible except if there's text that comes that makes it impermissible. What issues in deen is impermissible. It's not permissible except if there's proof from the deen that makes that act of worship permissible. So this is what the Shaykh is saying. Al-Asl al-Ibaha. Wal-Quhul la yu'addu aklan wa la shurban. Quhul is not considered to be food or drink. So the correct position is that Quhul, for the sa'im, for the person who's fasting, it's not from that which breaks his fast. It's not from that which breaks his fast. However, whoever sensed that if he put on Quhul, that it goes to his throat, then it is a must that he stops using quhul. If then one finds that they took quhul, because some people, they have sensitive bodies, they find that this quhul goes and they taste it in their throat, then it's better and it's most important for him to stay away from it. We'll end it here. نكتفي بهذا القدر. والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله يبارك فيكم.